From time to time, I believe it's good for us to go back to our basic roots in Jesus Christ and to examine again what we have become and to be reminded again of what we have learned along the way. Our sincere faith and our loyalty to our Lord and Master make up a very important part of why we're all here today. In simplest terms, we lay claim to being disciples. In New Testament terminology, the word disciples means those who follow another's teachings. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he's fully trained, will be like his teacher." And thus Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, that we are to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. In John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in Him, "If you abide in My Word, you are truly My disciples indeed." Then Jesus said in John 13, verse 35, "By this will all men know that you're My disciples, if you have love for one another." In John 15, verse 8, Jesus addressed the topic again, and He said, "By this is My Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be My disciples." Now, as we think seriously about following Christ, there are a couple of things that we need to make note of from the very beginning. Number one, following Christ is not cheap. It's not without cost. Those who are looking for something for nothing, those who are looking for something that's free without any responsibilities, without any obligations, are not going to find what they're looking for in being disciples of Jesus. There is the cost of sacrifice. There is sometimes even the cost of shame and dishonor in the minds of worldly people. There is sometimes even the cost of physical things. Following Christ is not cheap. Also, following Christ produces great rewards. There is, of course, after this life on earth is finished, an eternal reward that we look forward to with God, free from all pain and sorrow and loss and death. But in this life as well, I believe God's Word teaches us that we can anticipate great blessings in spite of the sacrifices that have to be made. A great deal of the preaching and teaching that we receive in the formal setting, such as this, is filled with comments and explanations offered by a preacher, such as myself. I believe it is very refreshing, on occasion, to simply let the Scriptures speak without interruption, without explanation, without any kind of comment. And so for the rest of our time this morning, I want to insist that you give your full attention to the Bible's answer to the question, what does it mean to follow Christ? In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, "Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls, for My yoke is easy, My burden is light." In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, Peter writes, "For this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, that you might follow in His steps." In John 13, verse 15, Jesus said, "For I've given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you." In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the writer says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said to all those around him, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." That same chapter, Luke 9, verse 62, Jesus said, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." In Luke chapter 14, verse 33, Jesus said, "So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul says, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29. "For in Christ Jesus you're all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you're Christ's, then you're Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." Romans 14, or chapter 13, verse 14. "But put on the Lord Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. "Be imitators of me, even as I am of Christ." May I suggest to you that following Christ means that earthly problems cannot overshadow my life, no matter how big or how strong those problems may be. In Psalm 30, verse 5, we read, "For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning." Psalm 34, verses 19 and 20. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all of his bones, and not one of them is broken." John 14, verses 1 through 3. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you may be also." Romans chapter 8, verse 28. "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, those who are called according to his purpose." Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are unseen are eternal." James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith proves and produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect. You may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. May I suggest to you as well that following Christ means that my will is surrendered to the will of God. And therefore my life will be different from the life of those in the world all around me. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present yourselves or present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you're not under law, but under grace. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And then verse 10, he says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. In James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15, James says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you're a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. In Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse 41, we read, and he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. There appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And then in the next chapter, Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. In Acts chapter 7, verses 59 and 60, we read that as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Philippians 2, verse 8. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. In John chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus said, For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Then in John 17, verse 4, Jesus said, I have glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And in John chapter 19, verse 30, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. May I suggest to you as well that following Christ means living a life of peace, joy, and contentment. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we all ask or think, according to the power at work within us." Philippians 4, verse 7, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." In Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30, Jesus himself said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life." 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort." Psalm 18, verse 19, "He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me." Psalm 37, verse 25, "I have been young and now am old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children begging for bread." Psalm 100, verse 3 says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." In Isaiah 26, verse 3, the prophet said, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Isaiah 58, verse 11, "And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." In Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul said, "Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content." Same chapter, Philippians 4, verse 19, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, "For bodily training is of some value. Godliness is of value in every way, and it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." And then Hebrews 13, verse 5, "Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you." Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? What does it take? What does it take to follow Christ? If we study carefully the words of the New Testament, we will come to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, where he tells us that it involves baptism. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Make disciples, baptizing them. Remember, the goal of the disciple is to be like the teacher. And yet we understand that there's no way that you and I will ever be able to be just like Jesus, the sinless, spotless Son of God, though has provided a way. And in baptism. There is the means by which we can become most like Jesus. We're buried with Him in baptism. Romans 6, verse 4. It is only by baptism that we put on Christ. Galatians 3, verse 27. But baptism is only the beginning. Because if you'll follow through with the rest of what Jesus said there in Matthew 28, verse 20, He said, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. We're baptized into Christ. And then we must observe all of those things. To observe means more than just to look at. It means to put them into practice. How can I follow Christ? Believing in Jesus as God's Son, repenting of my sins, confessing my faith in Him, and being baptized into Christ. Being buried with Him in baptism. Rising from the watery grave to walk in newness of life, and from that day forth, observing, putting into practice all that He has told us. Many of those things He has told us, we have observed and read this morning. We are His disciples when we follow His teachings, when we abide in His words. Are we disciples of Christ? Are we following Christ? If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we hope that you'll decide to do it right now. If you, as a child of God, have become unfaithful and have allowed sin to interfere in your relationship with God, we hope and pray that you'll let that continue no longer. You'll renounce it. Seek the forgiveness and the restoration that He offers.